When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Some of the happiest retirees are those that either have their house paid off or nearly paid off. But imagine if you were in your 30s and you did that, or your 40s, or your 50s. It makes retirement that much easier.
Welcome back, Millionaire University. It is the final installment of this three-part series with Adam Carroll. He has been talking to us about money and our kids and how we can start having conversations about finances with our kids to help them plan and use money more effectively and to see it as a real thing. And then we've talked all about the energetics of money and the psychology of money, which was a really, really powerful episode. And if you have missed either of those two, I encourage you to hit pause, go back, listen to those, get all caught up, because these episodes are building upon one another, which brings us to today, where we are going to get into some of the nitty-gritty when it comes to paying off debt, understanding how to use money as a tool, and how to even use some of the bank systems to twerk, to get ahead, to really understand how you can use some of these things to your advantage so that you can pay off your mortgage, pay off some really obnoxious high interest debt. And you're going to learn two of the things that actually cost us the most money. And my mind was blown. I had no idea that these are the two things that cost us the most money across our life when it comes to finances. So this episode is going to blow your mind. We're going to go into Adam's strategy of the shred method. We're going to talk about how you can start building up wealth and prosperity for yourself. If you're starting now to save for retirement, if you're already at retirement age and you're wondering, what can I do to really make a bigger dent and make a bigger and just grow my portfolio? What can I do to make a greater impact on what I do have? And how can I start being more strategic about paying off debt and being prepared for the long-term future? So you guys are going to love this one. It's going to tie everything up with a bow. So sit back, make some notes, and get ready for this final episode with the amazing Adam Carroll. Guys, we're back with Adam, and I know you've been so excited for this episode. We're going to get really into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to become more financially free and independent. And I'm sure you can tell, if you haven't listened to the first two episodes with Adam, you need to pause and go listen to those. They really set the stage and the foundation for how smart he is and the things you need to understand and what you can incorporate in with your families and helping your kids become more money conscious. So we're just going to continue this conversation, and I'm very excited about this. This is something I want to personally learn more about. As I've mentioned, I've had a lot of money, a little money, and I just want to learn how I can be more wise and intentional with that. So thanks for continuing the conversation, Adam.
I'm excited to be back with you, Kirsten. This is so good. We've had two great conversations so far. I know this one will be enlightening and on a different level than the other two.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got some of your own methodologies. You've obviously spent a lot of time in this space. So just give us a little brief introduction as to what some of those methods are and what we can expect to dive into today.
Yeah. I think the first episode we did together, I was talking about what my early money habits were. And I had graduated a student loan debt statistic and had credit card debt and all of that stuff. And I read a book, I think I'd mentioned too, I'd read 120 books on personal finance in about 2 years' time and started applying all the wisdom that I was learning. One of the books was called Debt-Free and Prosperous Living by John Commuda. And John was like a pioneer in the self-publishing world. So he had written this perfect bound book that he was printing at a local printer and selling them for $40 a copy. But he was doing it all through mail order and radio ads and things like that. And I ordered the book, read it from cover to cover, and was blown away by one concept, which was basically the debt snowball. He didn't call it that, but that's what he ultimately was talking about. And the debt snowball, for those that aren't familiar, is where you list all of your debts in a row with the minimum payments, interest rate, balance, et cetera. And you go after the lowest balance card first and pay minimum payments on everything else, and then slowly roll up. As you pay them off, you roll all the payments that you've been sending up to the next one, and so on. So my wife and I, over the course of 24 months, we paid off about $47,000 in student loans, credit cards, car loans, and consumer debt.
Wow.
And did it all by using this debt snowball method. And I was so taken aback by how simple it was that I wanted to go teach it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I was teaching folks how to stay out of debt, get out of debt. And then lo and behold, a few years later, I got into the mortgage industry. And in the mortgage industry, you realize that most mortgage brokers make their money on either a sale, like they're selling someone buying a new home, or a refinance.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of refinance work. And the thing that I kept realizing was these folks were just resetting the clock back to zero every time they refinanced their property. And if you know how an amortization table works or a mortgage works, when is the majority of the interest paid, Kirsten?
Oh, I learned this when my husband and I were trying to decide rent or buy, when I realized, oh my gosh, basically we're not any further ahead in those first year or two because most of what you're paying is interest.
Interest.
In the very beginning.
That's right. Yep. And the sad reality is it's probably more like the first 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
about 75 to 80% of your payment goes to interest.
Wow.
And so everybody that I would do a refinance for, essentially, they would get a little bit ahead on their mortgage, and then we'd refinance it, and they'd be right back to square one where they started.
Wow. That actually, I wondered about that, because my sister was like, they reached out and asked me to refinance my car, and I don't know why they would do that. And I said, I don't either. That makes them less money, but I did not realize that just resets the clock. Okay.
Yeah. And this, candidly, is how banks and lending institutions make money and will forever and ever. It's one of the greatest business models ever created, is that you tell them how much you want to borrow. They tell you how much to pay over X amount of time. And they know that you're going to dutifully pay that, or they will get whatever that thing that they've loaned you the money on is worth. And but be it your car or your home or whatever it may be. And so I started questioning one thing, and it was actually based on the advice that someone had given me. They said, the two greatest expenses in life that we'll ever have are, here's a pop quiz. Do you know what they are?
I mean, I would right off the top of my head say houses. And are we talking about just actually things you buy, or children would be included? Because we talked about how much it costs to raise a child these days.
Houses and children are good guesses, not the answer. The two greatest expenses that any of us will ever have in our life. In fact, it's said that as much as 40 to 60 cents of every dollar we will ever make will go to these two things.
Mm.
It is taxes and the interest expense on debt.
Oh my gosh.
Those are the two greatest expenses. Yeah.
Oh.
So I had a tax accountant who told me one time, listen, if you get really good at minimizing your tax liability, and the way you do that is you start a business and the business pays for a lot of the things you would pay for personally, buy real estate. That's a great way to offset some of your taxes. Do partnerships where you get a K-1 at the end of the year and you can write off some of the passive loss on those partnerships. There's all sorts of different ways to do that, but you can minimize your overall tax liability, maybe not down to zero, but down to a manageable number.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always going to have property tax, income tax, sales tax, gas tax, liquor tax, all those things. So I started wondering, okay, if I minimize my tax liability and I could minimize the interest expense on debt, wouldn't that mean that creating wealth is that much easier?
Right.
Because if the two greatest expenses in our life are taxes and the interest expense on debt, and we minimize both to the ridiculous, then everything we earn should be mostly ours to keep, to invest and grow and live the life we want.
Right.
Are you tracking with me so far?
Absolutely. I had never really thought of that, and clearly did not know those were the two greatest expenses, but I'm thinking in my head like, okay, that makes sense. And I've been in that mindset of this is why we've had businesses and why we've pursued making money through a business. And I've learned that in more recent years, the benefit to being able to really choose for yourself, and only to an extent, how much you're paying in taxes, because you're not really in control of that when you just have a typical job. And so people listening who are wanting to pursue the non-conventional path of starting their own business, having their own side hustle, you have so much more control over how much money stays yours, at least right now in 2024. Who knows what the future holds and whatnot. But there's and legally too, we're not even talking about trying to hide money from the government. We're talking about just the things they have in place that make it so we can keep more of our money.
That's exactly right. And the SHRED method really plays on how do we pay less in interest. So I'm going to give you a couple of metaphors here, Kirsten, that help describe this for people that are listening. The first one looks like this. If I told you that your car was idling in your driveway right now, what would you do?
Well, I'd be really shocked because I drive a Tesla, so.
Okay, it's not idling. Your neighbor's car is idling in their driveway.
I mean, if it was my car, if it was my husband's car, which it does have an engine, I would definitely go and want to turn it off.
Yeah. And why is that?
Because it's costing, it's using more fuel just to sit there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's inefficient, right? Burning mm-hmm. oil, burning fuel, hard on the engine, hard on the environment.
Yeah.
Somebody might steal it out of your driveway. Mm-hmm. In Iowa, someone would pick it up and take it to the car wash and bring it back cleaner than you had it before. So
I need to move to Iowa, sounds like.
It's a nice place. But so the reality is that no one would do that. No one would leave their car idling in the driveway all day, mm-hmm. right? If they had to run an errand in the morning and run an errand in the afternoon, they wouldn't just idle their car in the driveway all day. Yet many of us will leave money idling in an account for mm-hmm. days or weeks or months on end. And it's one of the most inefficient things we could possibly do. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine the average consumer, they get paid, money goes into their checking account. The checking account stays relatively thick for a period of time. And then with every swipe of the ATM card or debit card, every time we do an automatic bill pay, it just slowly starts to go down, dwindle, dwindle, until we get to a point where, oh, thank God, payday's Friday. And then we get another big boost and we feel good again. Well, our mentality, the methodology behind Shred is that the money that sits there in an account is hugely inefficient because it could be put to work for you, not mm-hmm. just sitting in that account. It could be put to work against something that is generating really significant interest expense every month.
Yeah.
And that would be your car, your home mortgage, could be student loans, could be any of these things. And so if you imagine a mortgage, call it an amortization table or an amortization schedule. It looks like a waterfall, shows mm-hmm. 30 years of payments. If you set a light, a stoplight over the top of that, the first 10 years would be red light thinking. So red light means the majority of your money is going to interest. Mm-hmm. The second 10 years is yellow light, little to principal, little to interest. And the last 10 years are green light. So most people will get to the heavy pay down period of their mortgage in the last 10 years. Mm. However, most people will only stay in their home 5 to 7 years, and then they'll sell it and move on to the next place. Mm-hmm. So if all they've ever done is made their minimum payment, then really they're not all that farther ahead. They've just paid a significant amount of interest.
Yeah.
And what the Shred method does is it says, there is a very simple product that every bank and credit union offers that all of us could have, that if we plug our income into that tool and we use the logic that banks use, we could use the bank's money against the bank to reduce the amount of interest that we pay on an annual basis. Oh, and man. For many people, it could be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year less than what they're currently paying.
Okay. I need to know what this is.
Yeah.
Because this is honestly, without understanding this deeper, this is why we made a decision several years ago when we had the choice to buy or rent, why we chose to rent, because we looked at, you know, people say, oh, rent is just throwing money away. And I was like, but if we buy and we know we're going to move again in a couple of years, we're also throwing money away.
Yeah.
We're banking on or betting on the fact that we'll actually even have more equity in this house to be able to make anything in return.
Right.
When
right.
we've also just tanked a lot of money. So if there's a workaround,
there is a total workaround. And you would be perfect to do this math with, because my assumption is that you will make more than you spend on an annual basis. Is mm-hmm. that a fair assumption?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for this to work, we basically need a few things. Number one, we need a relatively consistent, predictable income. Mm-hmm. So we work with a lot of folks who are salespeople, or they're working on commission, or maybe their income's seasonal. And it still works. We can figure out a way where if your income is somewhat up and down, we'll smooth it out and show you how this works.
Yeah.
But if you are a dual income family, you have more money at the end of the month, not more month at the end of your money, and you are disciplined enough to put that money where the system tells you to. And by system, we have a piece of software that's based on an algorithm that does all the math computations for you. Mm-hmm. And it's showing you, you have this much coming in, this much going out. Here's where we're going to apply it to make the biggest bang for your buck. But so long as you meet those qualifications, have a little bit of equity in a property that you've bought, that could be 5 or 10% down, we're going to turn that equity into a line of credit, like a home equity line of credit. Your money flows through that home equity line, and the system will say, based on how much you have these 4 days or 10 days, we're going to send this big chunk to your mortgage, and it slowly starts eviscerating your mortgage. Mm-hmm. to the extent that the majority of our shredders are done with their entire mortgage in 3 to 7 years. And the average is 4.2 years. You can be done with all of the debt.
Okay, so let me just make sure I'm understanding this. So just for the standard person that has a traditional loan, like my mom, for example, she could take out a HELOC, which is what we're talking about, right? So you're borrowing against the equity because she bought her house before the huge housing boom, living in a place where we've had a huge boom. So I think her house would be worth twice what she paid for it at this point.
Right.
In the last several, well, I guess it's 4 years, almost 4 years now, she hasn't really paid down that principal a lot. I threw out a guess and I was accurate on how much she still owed. And if you look at the payment, it should be far less. But so she could take out a HELOC. She could use what she pulls into that and just pay higher down on the principal of the house. Is that what you're saying? And
that's exactly right. Avoid.
Wow.
But there is one, there's one small caveat in there, which is that you're using the income you already make. Mm-hmm. You're just using it in a very efficient manner.
Yeah.
Because right now, again, most people, your mom included, probably keep some amount of money sitting on the sidelines to A, feel safe and secure.
Yeah.
B, we've been told by the gurus out there that we need 6 to 12 months worth of living expenses all the time. And my stance on that is that it really depends, because personal finance is personal. How do you make money? Is your job or income consistent? Could you go replace your income within 60 days or 90 days? And what dramatic thing would have to happen for you to have 12 months worth of living expenses in the bank? Now, we like to help set people up for any situation that would happen in their life. We want to make sure that they're covered for it. But the reality is that there is a difference between available money and accessible money. So we tend to keep available money sitting on the sidelines in a money market account. Could be the average consumer, let's say it's 6 months worth of living expenses. All the while, your mom right now has accessible money in the house in the way of a line of credit. So she could be accessing some of that money and utilizing it via the shred method to blast away that mortgage in record time, eliminating decades of interest that she would normally pay, and instead just creating mass equity in the property, more net worth in the long run, and eventually a lower expense profile when she gets to retirement. Because some of the happiest retirees are those that either have their house paid off or nearly paid off. But imagine if you were in your 30s and you did that, or your 40s, or your 50s, right? Or even your 60s, you have it paid off. It makes retirement that much easier.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after a word from our sponsors. More and more entrepreneurs and investors are discovering the awesome franchise opportunities that exist across a variety of industries. Franchising can simply be the better path, and interest in franchising is at an all-time high. Lucky for you, John Ostenson, founder of FranBridge Consulting and a past Millionaire University guest, is here to help you explore the premier franchise opportunities today. John and his FranBridge Consulting team are part of the largest franchise brokerage in the U.S. and have vetted the market thoroughly. FranBridge is hands down the premier source for the best opportunities in the franchise world, including both active and passive opportunities. From tiny homes to youth soccer to industrial hoses to pets, senior care to mental health, and more. John has served as an Inc. 500 franchisor and is a multi-brand franchisee himself. And he does more placements than anyone else in the country. Sign up for a free consultation call with John today or get a free copy of his book, Non-Food Franchising, at FranBridgeConsulting.com. That's FranBridgeConsulting.com. Available in the U.S. and Canada.
Okay, so on paper, what this would look like is you take out the home equity line of credit. You're using that to pay the standard bills while using the money that you have as income to pay down the principal higher. Am I looking at that in the right way? Because you have predictable income that you know you can just pay more into the house. And you're doing what with, is that right? You're doing that with the home equity line of credit money?
That's
just
right.
Kind of using that to just sit there as your spending money, as your use money?
Sort of. The HELOC itself is there as accessible funds.
Okay.
But because your income's going into the HELOC, so imagine we start ground zero on this.
Okay.
So we would, if we were to start like right from the get-go, Kirsten, and you had a home equity line of credit of, let's say, $10,000. Okay. And let's assume that you're bringing in $5,000 a month and you have maybe $3,500 a month in expenses. Okay. So there's about a $1,500 a month, what we would call discretionary income. Mm-hmm. Although for most people, discretionary income means, oh, that's my eating out money and my Target money and my Costco mm-hmm. money. So we tend to be a little more intentional with the funds that are flowing through the house. Mm-hmm. We can still go out to eat. We can still go on vacations and all that. You might want to wait 60 or 90 days till you start seeing some pretty dramatic shifts in your equity situation mm-hmm. in the house. But what happens is when your first deposit comes in of $5,000, the home equity line of credit can only ever be zero or negative. It will never have a surplus. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Because it's a line of credit, it'll only ever be zero. We've paid it off, or it'll be negative. We've borrowed against it.
Okay.
So if money's coming in, $5,000's coming in, our software would say, hey, it looks like you have a $5,000 deposit coming in the next 3 or 4 days. So today, let's send $6,372 to your mortgage payment. And it would send that off to your mortgage payment, dropping your mortgage by $6,372, which, by the way, if you look at your amortization table, would kick the number of payments you've made probably ahead by somewhere between 15 and 20.
Wow.
So you're going to skip a year and a half to 2 years almost by dropping $6,300 on your mortgage one time. $5,000 comes into the HELOC, and now the balance on it is $1,372. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And the amount of interest you've paid on that is effectively $5,000 worth, or technically $6,372 worth, for about 4 days.
Hmm.
And so what that would be is, let's say it's even at 10%. 10% on $6,300 would be $630. Divided by 12 is about $50 a month. And you only had it for 4 days. So you've paid $16 in interest to borrow $6,300 to drop on a mortgage that probably just saved you somewhere in the neighborhood of $12,000 to $15,000 in interest.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's hard not to say, why aren't more people talking about this? But I guess that's why we're doing this. We're having this conversation because we are trying to talk about this. But it's just crazy to me how many underutilized things exist that are legal, that are there for your access, that people do not know. Because, and I've shared this before, I mentioned this on the other episodes, that my dad just passed away a month ago. We're in the middle of settling his estate. It's pushing my mom into early retirement, where we're having to say, okay, now dad was going to work for 3 to 5 to 7 more years. He probably never would have retired. He just loved what he did. But it's forcing us to look at things very differently now and make wise decisions. And that's one of the things I've wondered about is, do we just take this big chunk of money and pay the house off? But it feels like, oh, we could put that into different places and actually earn interest on it, versus just, this feels like a really cool middle ground opportunity to be able to do both, to be able to earn on that, earn some interest on that money, but also avoid the extra interest that she would pay on the house over the course of the next 25 years.
100%. And this is the magic of, I say magic, it's not, it's math. Like, this isn't magic, it's math.
Yeah.
But the math behind it is that we will either pay, just for raw numbers, on a $400,000 mortgage, if it's at 6.6%, which is an average going rate today, that borrower will pay $800,000 by the time it's all said and done. And the majority of the $800,000, or the extra $400,000, is on the front end. It's in the first 7 years. So if we're helping someone that's in the early stage of their mortgage and they have some extra, call it discretionary income every month that we can roll through Shred, they will notice a massive amount of savings in a short amount of time.
Wow.
And they're not being over leveraged by any stretch of the imagination, nor are they denied the Disney trip or the steak dinner or the nice bottle of wine or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Go to Kohl's and shop if you want to shop. Like, it doesn't matter. It's, you can't go hog wild, right? I mean, that's part of this, is we got to be measured in it. But the system does a great job of just educating you about when you're going to make the payment, when the next payment is. And for most of our shredders, as we call them, it happens about 2 or 3 times a month. They'll send a lump sum to their mortgage or to pay off the car or pay off a student loan. And again, our average shredder is done in 4.2 years.
That's amazing and really exciting. So outside of even just this Shred method, a lot of people probably listening are at different stages and wanting to plan for retirement. And I love one of the other things that you talk about is is it FIRE?
Yeah, this exists in the world of finance. And okay. I think we were probably early to the FIRE game and didn't realize it.
Uh-huh.
FIRE stands for Financially Independent Retire Early. And the idea is originally started, I think, by a guy named Mr. Money Mustache out of Colorado. And his mustachians, who are all like members of his community, pride themselves on being uber cheap. Uh-huh. And so I did not necessarily ascribe to this because I like going and having a nice dinner. I want to go travel on vacations and stay in some of the nicest places.
Mm-hmm.
So we treat FIRE a little bit differently than most. Mr. Money Mustache was all about, if you save 10% of your income for 40 years, you'll be able to retire on that. But what if you save 50% of your income for 10 years? You'd still be able to retire early just based on that amount of money.
Yeah.
For us, it was a combination of two things. We talked about this before, that the game of money is both an offense game and a defense game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we play offense, we're making more, and we're playing defense, we're limiting our expense profile.
Yeah.
And we wanted to play both games really well, my wife and I. So I tend to be on the offensive side, which is like, how do we make more money? Whether that's through investments or I'm doing speaking engagements, writing books, creating media, those kinds of things, building the software platform. My wife plays really good defense. It's like, how do we minimize our expenses? And she's great about tracking and keeping things lower, which is why when we go on vacation, she's like, you book everything because I'll go cheap and you're not going to, right?
You're not
going to
love the Super 8 as much as you're going to love the high.
No, I like the Virgin hotels that we stay in. Those are really nice places. But the fact of the matter is that the Shred Method for us was a version of FIRE, which allows us to create a really low expense profile and know that whenever we're ready to retire, we technically can, because there's more money coming in passively than there are expenses on a monthly basis.
And like you said, it has to bring in both, because you're probably able to shred faster with the extra discretionary income, right? So you could still do it, staying with what you have and just maybe cutting back a little bit more on the TJ Maxx budget. Or you can say, you know, spend $500 a month at TJ Maxx. I love redoing the living room every month. So I'm going to go have a side hustle that's going to bring in more discretionary income so that I can do this and create less expense while still building a portfolio. Yeah, it's so like simple when we talk about it. And yet it's so beyond what most people are thinking about. We're so stuck in this like make money, spend money mentality. So many
people. Well, I'll give you a great example too, Kirsten. We work with a lot of first responders.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into this pocket of firefighters and police officers that they had plenty of overtime, but they'd go work an overtime shift once a week or twice a week. And then they use that to pay for their motorcycle or their camper or their what have you, right? Their doodads. And I got in one of their groups and I was like, hey, y'all, if you do one extra shift a week, I can show you how your house will be paid off in 3.5 years.
Wow.
And they're all like, dip, what? How does this work exactly? And when we started sharing it with them, it did two things. Number one, it opened their eyes to what is possible. But number two, they were working extra shifts willingly, gladly, because they're going to be retired far earlier when they know that they have no house payment and every extra dollar they're making could be going towards rental properties or other investments or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And then they can take that paid off house and they can buy motorcycles and toys, borrowing against it with much lower interest rate than a credit card or a standard loan, right?
Totally. Yeah, or you continue using the Shred methodology where you buy stuff on the line of credit and your income keeps cycling through and it just brings the credit back down to zero.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like I said, so simple and yet something that's so beyond the scope of what most people are thinking about. So if you are further ahead, I know I mentioned that I wanted to ask you this before. If you're further in where you're maybe already really close to retirement, and maybe some people listening to this are recognizing the things I've done up till now are not going to be enough to retire comfortably because this economy is crazy and it costs so much more to live now. Yep. What can they start doing to be a little bit more intentional and prepared and to make their money work for them when maybe they're not at a point where they can make a whole lot more in discretionary income, but how can they take what they have worked for and turn that into something where they can be more comfortable?
Yeah, this is a really important question right now because there are a lot of headlines out there that are talking about the unpreparedness for retirement, the level of folks that are out there going, I'm not sure I've saved enough and I'm going to keep working until I'm in my 70s. And just the fact that Social Security now, the top age is 70 and will probably be 75 by the time we're able to receive it. Yeah. That says something about where most people are from a financial perspective. If you're in your 60s and you're looking ahead towards retirement, and let's just assume that you've maybe you are sort of woefully unprepared in terms of how much you have in your asset base. There's only so much risk you can tolerate to grow that amount of money before it's, this is way too much risk. So one of the things to potentially think about is, how do we reduce the expenses that we're paying on a monthly basis? And that could be either you're blasting away debts like car loans, credit card debt for sure we need to get rid of. And then this is one of those strategies, and I'm going to share this. I don't always share this on podcasts, but we use a recasting strategy for a mortgage that if someone loves the house they're in, they know they want to retire in the next 5 to 7 years, 10 years, but they know that house payment is going to be a stretch by the time they get there. One of the things that we do through Shred is we focus on, let's use the Shred method technology to minimize the principal on the house. And then we simply recast the mortgage. And when you recast the mortgage, it's different than a refinance. Remember, a refinance just resets the clock to zero and all that interest comes back. A recast basically said, if you started with $400,000 on a 30-year fixed mortgage at 4% and your payment was $2,800 a month, let's say, but you, over the course of the next 3 years or 4 years, you pay it down to $150,000. And it may seem crazy, but with Shred, it's highly likely. So we get down to $150,000. Well, a recast says, you go to your lender and you say, I owed $400,000 when I started at 30 years at 4%. I'm at 26 years left. I owe $150,000 at 4%. What's that payment like? And that payment will be around somewhere between $900 and $1,100 a month. So someone that wants to retire comfortably, know that they can afford the house they're living in, recasting is a strategy that they can use to get there, but they've got to have a significant amount of principal pay down in a short amount of time. And there's no better way to do that than the Shred method.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. So great. And it's also nice to hear that there are options out there. And I think if you can open your mind a little bit to understand that you do have different directions you can go when it comes to saving, investing, making more, being a little more wise with that, that's really encouraging, because we tend to think this is how it's always been, this is how it has to be, and we can stay stuck in ruts. So I love hearing your take on things, and that all the things you've experienced and learned throughout your career, your life, is now going to benefit others as they continue to navigate saving in the future and just thinking non-conventionally about what's possible so that we can have more abundance and be more at ease when it comes to our money. So I love it.
Isn't that what we all should have? Feel more abundant and be more at ease. And I have to share with you, I was at a real estate conference about a week and a half ago, and we had a little Shred meetup. So we had 15 or 16 shredders that came to this real estate wealth building conference, and all of them in varying stages of where they're at in their debt payoff journey and all that. And there was a gentleman next to me named Greg, and Greg was talking to a young lady next to him who her real estate transaction model was she would buy the dumpiest looking house on the nicest street. And then she would rehab it and make it look nice and interior design and all that, and then flip it. And she said, I'm running out of money. I have the master bath left. That's all I have to redo. And then I can sell this house, but I'm out of money. I'm thinking about just flipping it now, but there's no way I'll make as much money as I will if I had the bathroom done. And Greg's like, well, how much do you need? And she said, I don't know, like $15,000. And he reaches his hand over, he shakes her hand, and he goes, my name's Greg. Let's talk. Maybe I can help you out of this bind. This is the power. Greg had paid off $220,000 in debt in the last 2 years.
Wow.
His mortgage, he had a credit card debt, maybe a car loan, but blasted away $220,000 and now has no debt, no bills whatsoever. So he still making good money, wants to do something with it. And here he meets this person who has a need and he can fill the need, and it's good for both of them. This is the power of Shred. And we have this kind of experience all the time where someone will say, oh my gosh, this was life-changing. One of our shredders blasted away a $300,000 home mortgage and then was like, well, now we can buy the condo in Florida that we've always wanted. They turned that into an Airbnb, and the Airbnb covered 95% of their mortgage last year.
Wow.
And through the Shred method, they'll have it taken care of completely in about 2 years' time. And then they're like, we're going to go do it again. And then we'll do it again and again. So this is the power of doing something that's out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start thinking differently, you realize what is actually possible.
Yeah. Okay. And I just want to wrap up that thought a little bit too, with just asking, people are coming into this from all different situations. Some have extra money, some don't. And I've mentioned that a few times. So do you feel like the shred method works mostly if you have a little bit of extra discretionary income? This isn't something that you're going to dive into if you're already struggling, because it can be really dangerous and easy to get sucked under into more debt if you really haven't learned initially that foundation for having extra and saving that extra, or using that without just spending every dime.
Aptly said. That is 100% true. If, and I mentioned it before, if you have more month at the end of your money, this is not for you.
Yeah. Okay.
This is not for you. You cannot solve a spending problem with more debt.
Right.
So we have to be disciplined. You have to know that you're good about putting away 10 or 20% a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say at least 10% of what you're making. So even those who are in the, like, I make $2,000 or $2,500 a month. Well, if you're setting aside $250 of that every month, this will work for you.
Okay.
It works better. The shredder gets bigger and bigger the more discretionary income you have. There are those little single sheet shredders that you can buy that are battery operated, like one page at a time. Then there are the ones you can put 10 or 15 pages in, and then there's the one you can put a book through.
Yeah.
That's all dependent on how much discretionary income, and candidly, how much income is cycling through at any given time. So we get physicians and high paid sales professionals. If they're clocking a lot of money through their account, we'll show them how powerful Shred can be.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's fascinating. And all of these have just, like we said, built upon each other. And I feel like I have a much stronger understanding and foundation in financial healthiness and understanding some of the conversations I can continue to have with my kids. And I hope everybody listening feels a little bit wiser. I'm sure that they do after these few episodes that we've had together, Adam. You have brought so much to the table, so much to think about. And I think my biggest takeaway is we talk a lot about how to make more money. And I think one of the benefits, when you can start to see what's possible for you when you do put in that time and that effort, is it's not just a lifestyle enhancement because now you have more and you can do fun things. It's really you can do more fun things because you have more that you can play around with, and you can start to play this real life game of Monopoly in a different way that the average person is never even going to step up to the table and understand what they can do when they haven't put in the effort to create extra.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. On that note, could I add one more comment?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a difference between making it and keeping it and growing it. And people will say, well, it's easier to make it than it is to keep it. And it's easier to keep it than it is to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Making it is relatively simple. That just takes action.
Yeah.
Like, we go get jobs or we go create value, we can make money. That shouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it requires behavior change, right? So people who don't keep enough don't have the right behaviors down. They need to work on their behaviors if they're not keeping enough money. And then growing it is fairly simple. It requires information and knowledge and action.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have information and knowledge, you can go grow your money.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage listeners out there, decide where you're at. If it's making it, if this is an offense problem, go make more money.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a keeping problem, change your behavior, keep more of the money. And if it's growing, learn, get coaching, sign up for classes, listen to podcasts like Millionaire University, right? Learn from the people who are doing this and then take action on what they're saying to put that stuff into practice.
Yeah, 100%. I echo all the things you said. And I'm really grateful that you've come on here and that we were able to do 3 episodes, because it's been a tremendous amount of value for myself, for our audience. And I know that we're going to help people make some big changes in their lives. So thank you for the time and effort you've put into growing your knowledge base and all the books you've read and all of that compilation of knowledge that you brought to the podcast today and in previous episodes. And thank you so much for spending some time with me. I know that it is going to bless many lives, and I'm glad that I got to know you, Adam.
Yeah, likewise, Kirsten. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for doing what you do. This is incredibly important work.
Absolutely. Thanks again. What a powerful ending to this 3-part series with Adam. I have a head swimming with ideas, and ever since this last call that Adam and I were on, I have been doing so much research, looking into what his company does, and expanding my mind about what's possible when it comes to saving, investing, and paying off debt. This really sent me down a really cool path that I've already started to explore, but just gave me some more points of reference. And I think that's what this podcast serves to do, is just open your mind and open so many doors that you didn't even know existed when it comes to understanding what's possible for you and your life and your business. I'm somebody who has made great amounts of money, but I have never really until this year started to grasp what's possible when you use your money as a tool to advance and progress in your life and to make more money. And so I hope that this conversation and the other conversations that preceded it got you very excited about what is possible, because we have a tendency to stay in the rut that we've created for ourselves. We might think that we're never going to get out of the mound of debt, that we're never going to actually have a paid off mortgage. And maybe that's just a pipe dream for you. But after hearing this conversation and recognizing that it just takes some choices and some tweaks and really finding the philosophies and the strategies that are going to align with your life, anything is possible. So I'm very excited. I've started to talk to my family about some of these things and just starting to open my mind about what is possible and what we can start to be more strategic and more creative about when it comes to investing and paying off debt. And it makes me really excited to make more money so that I have more to play around with and do and explore some of these really cool ways that you can truly start becoming a master of your own finances. So thank you again, Adam, for coming on, sharing your knowledge with us in this three-part series. We hope that you all have enjoyed every single one of these episodes. We would love to hear what you think. So go and leave us a comment on social media. Let us know what of the three episodes was your favorite, what your greatest takeaway was, and also leave us a rating and review. We would love to hear your insight about these three episodes. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the next episode of Millionaire University.